Nanyathavapadam bhojat Pashyami saranam nrinam Devyatam rikyu samsarar Ishvarasya pavargitkat Nanyathavapadam bhojat Pashyami saranam nrinam Divyatam rityu samsarat Ishvarasya pavargikat Nanyathavapadam bhojat Pashyami saranam nrinam Divyatam rityu samsarat Ishvarasya pavargikat
For persons fearful of death and rebirth, I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet, for you are the Supreme Lord. Repeat after me.
Nama Krishnaya Shuddhaya Brahmane Paramatmane Yogeshwaraya Yogaya Swamaham Sharanam Gata Nama Krishnaya Shuddhaya Brahmane Paramatmane Yogeshwaraya Yogaya Swam Aham Sharanam Gata.
I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the Supreme Pure, the Absolute Truth, and the Supersoul, the Lord of pure devotional service and the source of all knowledge. I have come to you for shelter. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami has translated the word yogaya as unto Krishna, the source of all knowledge. The word yoga indicates connection and also the means to achieve something. As conscious souls, we have a connection with the Supreme Soul through bhakti or devotion. Through that relationship, we experience perfect knowledge of the Supreme Soul. Since the Supreme Soul is the Absolute Truth, perfect knowledge of Him means perfect knowledge of everything, as stated in the Mundaka Upanishad, Kasmin Bhagavo Vigyate Saravam Idam Vigyatam Vibhavati. When the Absolute is understood, everything is understood. Thus, Lord Krishna Himself, by His spiritual potency, establishes our connection with Him. And that connection is the source of all spiritual knowledge. Thus, Acharya Sridhar, by His thoughtful translation, stimulates us to deeper understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo
Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ajanulambita bhujo kanakatavato. Sankirtanaya kapitaro kamalaya takso. Vishwambaro vijabaro yugadharma palo. Bande jagat priyakaro karunavataro. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
For persons fearful of death and rebirth, I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet, for you are the Supreme Lord. I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the Supreme Pure, the Absolute Truth and the Supersoul, the Lord of pure devotional service and the source of all knowledge. I have come to you for shelter. The beautiful prayers of Queen Kunti, as being narrated by Sri Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto of Bhagavat, Queen Kunti is offering her heartfelt and loving prayers at a time when all of the calamities and dangers that had inflicted her and her children for so many long years had come to an end. It was at the time after the great battle of Kurukshetra that Lord Sri Krishna had coronated Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers as the kings and rulers of the entire planet Earth. The holy city of Hastinapur became their capital. All of their enemies and adversaries had been slain in this great battle. They not only ruled the whole world, but all the other great kings and leaders were their intimate, loving friends and well-wishers, their humble servants, willing to surrender to their every word and their every desire. There was no longer any calamities, any difficulties for the Pandavas. At that time, Queen Kunti prayed that for so many long years, myself and my children had to undergo such immense difficulties. There was, by all mental or physical standards, not even a moment of peace. We were being cheated. People were hunting for our lives. We were homeless. This was the situation of my children. But now, my Lord, we are living in this big, beautiful palace with so many wonderful armies and servants. But now you are leaving us, going back to your abode of Dwaraka. Now I am feeling great danger, because in this comfortable situation of life, It is most likely that we will forget you, that we will think everything is all right, that we will come under the illusion that we are not helplessly depending on your mercy at every second.
Viparashantu tatatra tatra tatra jagat guru apunara bhavadarshanam.
Queen Kunti prayed, let the difficulties and calamities come again and again, because in their presence we remember you. And when we remember you, we transcend death itself. Here we find the prayers of Queen Kunti at a very different time. She is meeting Akrura in Hastinapur, and this is right in the midst of the great crisis. At a time when there were so many terrible threats to the lives of her children, so many terrible envious injustices and plots against them, and her prayers are practically exactly the same. Such a wonderful exhibition of the natural heart of a devotee. When she was in the greatest danger along with her children, and when everything was perfectly safe and protected, she was offering exactly the same prayers to the Lord. The nature of a devotee is that in every situation, they know that the only purpose of their consciousness is to surrender to Krishna, to remember Krishna. We find in the Leela of Lord Gaur Chandra that Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, they were pure devotees of the Lord. In fact, they were the incarnations of Sri Nanda Maharaj and Srimati Jashodamai of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And whatever desire comes into the heart of a pure devotee, it is simply the desire of the Lord manifesting through them. Sometimes it is inconceivable how a person who is completely detached from material life appears to have certain desires that are connected to material life. But we should know that in such circumstances, amongst such Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, it is actually simply the sweet will of the Lord in order to facilitate an ecstatic loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee. Yashoda, or Sachi Devi, and Nanda, who appeared as Jagannath Mishra, very much wanted to have a child. They were grihasthas, but they had no attachment to material family life. They were only attached to the loving service of the Lord. But because Lord Sri Krishna wanted to appear as their son and give them the opportunity for intimate, ecstatic, loving service to him, it was he, the Paramatma, within their hearts that awakened within them the burning, burning desire to have children. To have children only for the purpose of serving on behalf of Krishna. Sachi Mata had such a motherly heart. In fact, great Vaishnavas like Sri Rangapuri, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Kaviraj Goswami, they declared that she was of such a stature of motherly love that she was the mother of the entire universe. She had such affection for all living beings. But still, by her nature, she wanted so much to have her own child. So a child was born to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. It was a beautiful daughter. But soon after its birth, this daughter died. This is a very painful experience for a mother. After lovingly caring and nursing a child within her womb for 9 to 10 months, when that baby child first comes out of the womb, every mother here knows what type of intense affection grows for that child when you first see its beautiful little form. So helpless. Can you imagine the pain of a mother when after just seeing that child and becoming attached to it, it dies? Again and again and again, I believe it was 8 daughters consecutively, died just after birth. And Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, although they were pure devotees, by the Lord's arrangement, they were suffering due to the loss of their children, suffering due to compassion. And they were worshiping the Lord. They were never thinking, "Oh my Lord, why are you doing this to us? We are your devotees. We have given our lives to you. We are never engaging in sinful activities. We are constantly chanting your name. We are constantly serving your devotees. We are always worshiping your beautiful form in our home." In the house of Nanda Maharaj, there was a murti, Adhokshaja Vishnu. When we go to Sri Dham Mayapur, you will see that same very murti that was worshipped by Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra. And even before that, there's a part of Navadvip called Belpukar, and that is the place of Nilambar Chakrabarti Thakur. And you will see a beautiful murti of Lord Vishnu. And that was the murti that Sachi Mata worshipped with intimate pure devotion from her earliest, tenderest times of childhood. She never forgot Krishna. She was always worshipping Krishna. But when so many of her children died, did she complain? Did she say, "Why, my Lord, are you doing this to me? Maybe I should worship some other god. What is the use?" No. Every time a calamity took place, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, with pure and loving hearts, only increased the quality of their devotion. and they were worshiping with such faith despite all of these reversals. And finally, a beautiful, beautiful male child was born. He was named Vishwarup. He had all of the symptoms of a Mahapurusha, of a godly person. In fact, he was a partial expansion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He was an Angsha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was so beautiful. When he was born, so healthy, so charming, Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, did they behave like an ordinary materialistic religious person? That, my Lord, I have worshipped you for some benediction, and now that I have received it, why should I spend so much time serving you and glorifying you? No. When the child was born, they were so happy that the Lord was pleased upon them in this way that they increased their worship even more. We find in this example, in happiness or distress, whether Krishna was giving or taking, they were always praying to the Lord and increasing their worship to Him, always taking shelter unconditionally. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed, "My dear Lord, if you like, you can protect me, or if you like, you can kill me. You have any right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant unconditionally." And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has similarly prayed, "Ashlisya va padarapam panashtumam adarshanam maramahatam kurotu va yathatatatavidatulambato mat prananatastu se evana paraha." O Krishna, if you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can step upon me, trample me. If you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present to me at all. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please, for I am your servant unconditionally. This is truly the transcendental platform of consciousness. That under any condition, happiness or distress, success or failure, pleasure, pain, honor or dishonor, victory or defeat, safety or danger, a devotee maintains the same helpless feeling, seeking shelter of Krishna as the only object of our life. When Kunti Devi was fearing death and torture her to her children, she was offering her obeisances to Krishna, saying, "I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet." And when Queen Kunti and her children, Pandavas, were sitting on the royal throne protected on all sides, she was still, with tears in her eyes, crying, "Krishna, do not leave us. You are our only shelter." Shri Krishna Sharanam Mam. Krishna is the only shelter for all living beings at all times. The illusion of Maya is to put us under the misconception that there is any safety anywhere besides the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. For a neophyte devotee, dangers are Krishna's mercy. Calamities and tribulations are a great benediction. Yasyaham anagrinami harishita dhanam shanai. For people who are devotees, who are becoming attached to family, too much attached to material opulence, or just too much attached to an easy life, Krishna takes things away out of his compassion, just so that devotee realizes that actually, Krishna, this is all an illusion. I only have one shelter, and that is you. There's no one else that can save me. So in this way, such dangerous conditions, such tragedies that come in our life are welcome, because it is really necessary to come to be in those circumstances to helplessly seek shelter of Krishna through his name, through his devotees, through his beautiful form. But for the great souls, they are always seeking shelter of Krishna. They never forget him. They know that like fish survive in the water, they are only surviving by the grace of Krishna. They are only surviving by their love and remembrance of Krishna. In Vrindavan Dham, the gopis, during Krishna's wonderful pastimes, as Vrindavanath, the Lord of Vrindavan, they were always immersed in thinking of him, always immersed in chanting his glories. They would meet him in the night. They would hear of his wonderful activities throughout the day. They were always singing his names and glories, constantly immersed in personally serving him in every possible way. Of course, the gopis, their service was always to assist Sri Radharani in her loving service to the Lord. In this way, they were always remembering Krishna as their only object of life. And they were so happy that of all creation, Krishna's with us. Of all the planets and all the universes, Krishna, the most beautiful object of all love, has chosen to live in our little community of Braja. How fortunate we are. How merciful he is. And when Krishna left on that chariot with Akrura for Mathura, and for such a long time he did not return, the gopis, in the same way, but with even greater intensity, they were always remembering Krishna, always chanting his names and glories, always remembering his beautiful pastimes. So for the gopis, in happiness or distress, there was only Krishna. In pleasure or pain, there was only Krishna. This is the goal of the life of a true devotee of the Lord. We do not care for pleasure or pain, or happiness or distress, or success or failure, or victory or defeat. We do not even care so much for life or death. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamayahe. Mama janamani janmani suri bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvayi. Sri Mahaprabhu has given us this prayer. I do not desire wealth or any type of sense gratification to enjoy the beautiful things of this world. I do not even care for fame, follower, or liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you. I only want to remember you birth after birth after birth. This is the standard that we should establish as our only goal in life. To seek shelter and to find shelter in Krishna in every situation. In fact, Srila Prabhupada taught us that we should study these beautiful prayers of Kunkunti. By studying the prayers of these great Mahabhagavatas, our own hearts and minds become endowed with a proper understanding of what we should desire at all times in our life. Krishna. Krishna's shelter. Krishna's service. Which is all contained within his holy name. Therefore, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the prime benediction for all humanity. By learning to take shelter of Harinam, we will find the shelter of those liberating lotus feet that free us from all fear and free us from death itself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, in a grasta life, most of the devotees used to say that we would like to have a child just because we want to serve Krishna. Now, these devotees, they have the child. And after that, when the child becomes a devotee, and he becomes a very, very advanced and a very strong devotee, and he wants to renounce everything, and he wants to become a brahmachari or a full-time devotee altogether. Then the same parents who say in the beginning that we want to just serve Krishna and we want to do as a service to Krishna, that's why we want to have a child. The same parents, they say that no, you don't have to do anything. You have to stay in the house and you have to do both the things together, this. Is it so? Is it not so that you are cheating Krishna? This is you want to just do in a sense gratification. You want to do sense gratification.
Jagannath Misra and Sachi Devi also thought like that. They were mortified when Vishwarup renounced the world and took sannyas. Jagannath Misra, just at the thought that Nimai Pandit would also leave the world and take sannyas, he was in so much anxiety that he left his body. And Sachi Mata begged and prayed that you are all I have. Please do not leave me. So it is natural for a parent. Raghunath Das Goswami, his parents were actually very good devotees. But still, to take to the renounced order of life, you see, for a grihastha to think of their child performing such austerities and tapasya is very painful to their heart. It is the natural mood of a parent. Madhvacharya's father was also a very great devotee of Lord Narayan. But he was very sad when Madhvacharya accepted the renounced order. So this is part of Krishna's Leela.
Service to Krishna when the boy is, when the child is going becoming a full time.
You can do service as a grihastha also. The parents, we find that Jagannath Mishra, Shachi Mata, Madhvacharya's father, so many others. They were never angry with Krishna when their children did this. They knew in their heart of hearts that it was the best thing they could do. In their heart of hearts, they were actually proud. They knew that their children were accepting the highest principles of perfection. But still, that natural desire to want to serve the child, to want to express personally your own love for the child, is natural in a parent's heart. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, his parents, they remained great Vaishnavas. In fact, they became greater Vaishnavas. In every one of these situations, the parents became greater Vaishnavas. But that desire to personally serve them, to personally associate with them, is naturally painful to break. If a parent gives up their faith in Krishna, or gives up their devotional service, or curses Krishna for this, that means they are in Maya. That means they are an illusion. But if they cry and they increase their devotion in Krishna, that means everything is very nice. Rarely do we find in history anybody who takes sannyas, even the greatest acharya, whose parents were encouraging them. Rarely do we find that their parents' hearts did not break, even if their parents were great devotees. Even Vedavyas. Vedavyas was an avatar of Krishna. And when Shukadev Goswami was born, he wanted him to get married. And Shukadev Goswami wanted nothing to do with Matajis. He wanted nothing to do with family life or maintaining livelihoods. He didn't even care to put on clothes. He just left. And Vedavyas was heartbroken. He was running after him, crying, "Please come home. Stay with us. Let us serve you. Let us love you. Let us marry you and give you a nice life to live." Parents want to do that for their children. But Shukadev Goswami just left. He wanted nothing to do with it. But when he saw how much distress his father was in, that he was leaving home, that Shukadev Goswami, because he was a great mystic, he expanded himself into identical Shukadev Goswami. And just to satisfy Vedavyas, he got married. His father married him. He had children. Now, of course, we cannot do like that, expand ourselves. But we find that even such a great devotee as Vedavyas, that natural desire to want to serve and give their affection to their child was there. So we cannot blame anyone. It is natural. Of course, in their case, they were seeing service to their child as service to Krishna. It was not for their sense gratification. It wasn't due to material attachment. It was due to affection for a pure devotee. Affection and attachment to one's service to the Lord, because it's the parents' service to the Lord to do these things for their child.
Sometimes a good devotee, grahasthas, those who are really good devotees, they, once they go into grahastha life, they know it, that grahastha life is really a problem. They have all sorts of, everything, all sorts of compromising in spiritual life, and everything has to take place. Now the same child, which is going to become a devotee and he wants to renounce everything, the parents, although they are knowing that grahastha life is nonsense, yet they tell him to get married and to have a child and everything. So is it not so they are doing injustice to the child?
If it is Krishna conscious family life, it is not injustice. But if the child, by his own intense desire for devotional service, by his own intense desire to show compassion to the souls of this world, wants to renounce everything, the parent cannot stand in his way. As painful as it may be, they should be grateful to God that they have that God has sent such an exalted child into their life. Sachi Devi was so heartbroken when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, but she was so proud of him. And Vedavyas, even though he was so heartbroken when Shukadeva Goswami took to the renounced order, he personally came to the banks of the Ganges and sat at the lotus feet of his own son and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him in the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. He was proud. And we have seen, even amongst our own devotees, even if their parents are religious and devotional, or even materialistic, if the child takes to the renounced order, there is heartbreak and tears. But in due course of time, the parents are so proud of their child, to the extent they even take shelter of their child. Therefore, they should know it is their greatest fortune. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.